If you have your Bible right there, take it and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. When you find Philippians chapter 4, if you're able to stand easily, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Philippians chapter 4. I'll start reading tonight in verse number 14 and read down through the end of the chapter. It says this, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." I want to preach to you on this subject tonight, the importance of giving. The importance of giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day that you gave to us today. And Lord, for an opportunity to come here tonight to finish our day off in your house and sing together, rejoice together, and fellowship together. And God, it has been good to be in your house already. And we just ask that you now would help us as we look into your word to have open hearts and open minds to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, when we think about giving to God, you need to remember, as hard as it sounds, almost as crass as it sounds sometimes, you can't give to God without giving to people. You can't just take your mission money and throw it up in the air and say, okay, I gave it to God and he didn't catch it, so I get it back, right? I mean, that's how some people do it, I think. But you can't just give God money. Yeah, you know, it's just not possible to just give God money. So in order to give to God, you have to give to someone and you give it as unto the Lord. And so when we talk about giving, understand that we're not just talking about us somehow depositing some money in God's account somewhere, but we are giving to what God loves and what God cares about and what God is interested in. And by virtue of that, then we are giving to God. Now here in Philippians chapter 4, we don't have time to go back too far in the chapter and all of that. But the Apostle Paul is in prison and he's in Rome, and the prison system of Rome was not like our prison system now. In the United States of America, when someone is thrown in prison, thrown in jail, they have certain expectations, and we try to meet those expectations. Now, it's not somewhere anyone wants to go, but we do our best to be humane. And so they have a place to sleep, and they have shelter, and they're guaranteed food, and a certain amount of exercise, and nowadays even some intellectual pursuits. They can take online college courses, and they can read, and they can study, and they can do all kinds of things. Because we want to be humane, and we want to be thoughtful of those people. The Romans didn't care about that. If you got thrown in the Roman prison, they didn't care if you had shelter, if you had good conditions, if you got food. I mean, if you got food, that was fine, but if you didn't, they didn't really care a whole lot. It wasn't that big a deal. And if you got sick, there was no guaranteed medical care. As a matter of fact, if you got sick, you probably would just get an infection and die, and that would save them the trouble of having to kill you later. Because once you were in the prison, you probably were going to be killed. That's just the way it was. And if you died in there, it just saved them the trouble of having to kill you later. So it wasn't a nice place to be. And the people inside depended on their friends and family outside to take care of their needs. to bring food, to bring items that they needed, blankets, things to stay warm, any kind of medicines, anything like that had to come from outside. And so the church at Philippi said, the apostle Paul is in prison and we want to help. We want to see to it that his needs are met. So they sent what we would call a care package. They sent it to the apostle Paul, and Epaphroditus was the messenger that brought that to the apostle Paul. And by the way, he's the one that's going to take the letter of Philippians back to the church at Philippi when he returns. And so that's the occasion of the writing of this little book. And when he gets down to the end, he's thanking them for what they have done. And so we see the heart of the givers. The heart of the givers in verses 14 through 16. He said, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Out of all the places I've been and out of all the churches that I've ministered to and the churches that I've planted and all the rest, nobody else communicated with me regarding giving and receiving but the church at Philippi. What a wonderful testimony for the church at Philippi. That they were concerned enough that they would give, and they gave out of love. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. They gave out of love. They cared for him. That's the right way to give, by the way. The heart of the giver should be motivated by love. Love for the individual you're giving to and love for God and love for them because they're serving God. Not only did they give out of love, but they gave to meet a need. Now, don't miss this. They weren't giving to get something. All too often we have in our mind, well, I'll give this, and then I'm going to get this back. That's how a lot of people give. I'll give you something if you give me something, and then we'll just keep it going, and it'll just keep escalating, and I'm always hoping you're going to give me more than I gave you, and back and forth and back and forth. He said, no, that's not what I'm doing. He said in verse number 12, not that I speak in respect of want. That I'm not asking for things, and they weren't giving because he asked, because he didn't ask. They gave because there was a need. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, it says that Epaphroditus was your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So he brought those things that Paul needed because there was a need there. When you see the missionary presentations and you see the different ministries and what's going on, what you're seeing is a need. You're seeing that need up there. Now, my pastor is a wise man and he has lots of wise sayings. But I don't think this was original with him. I think he stole it from somebody else. He always says a need seen is an assignment given. In other words, if God put it in front of you and you saw a need, God was probably telling you to be the one to meet the need. A need seen is an assignment given. So when you see the presentations and you see all the people who need to hear the gospel and the need around the world, what God is saying is, hey, there's an assignment for you right there. There's something that you can work on. There's a project for you to get involved in. And not only did they give out of love and to meet a need, they gave unto the Lord. They gave unto the Lord. If you'll get in your mind that your giving is really to the Lord, it'll change your attitude about giving. A lot of people don't give because they don't think the person they're handing it to deserves to have it. But if you'll get in your mind the idea that you're actually giving to God, we've met folks, you know, I've been at this for a little while now, and we've been in a lot of places, met an awful lot of people. And Brother McDonald, one of the strangest things is that you'll meet people in churches that I've met them who've said, yeah, we go here, but we don't tithe here because we don't know what they'd do with the money. Well, then, I mean, if they're that dishonest, quit going there. I mean, if you can't trust them with your tithe money, then don't go there. Amen. That just makes sense to me. I met one guy, he said, well, I started this new business and it's very profitable and I anticipate making over $1 million next year. And so I've got to find somewhere to tie that to. I said, well, what about your church? He said, oh, they wouldn't know what to do with that kind of money. Well, we have in our mind that it's going into the preacher's pocket or it's going into the church, whatever. And listen, when you let go of that in the offering plate, you know what you've just done? You've just given that to God.
That's right.
Now, if somebody takes that and misuses it, God will handle that.
That's right.
He will. And if somebody's messing with the funds, God will get them sooner or later, and it'll all come out, and it'll be awful. But you don't give because you trust the usher. You give because you want to give to God. Amen? And so they were giving unto the Lord. That's a Bible principle, by the way. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. You see, we give to God, and as long as that's our mindset, then giving really is easy. If we think we're putting it in somebody's pocket or this or that, then it's hard to give. But when it's to the Lord, it's different. We see the heart of the givers, but then we see the heart of the recipient. Look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, this is not just the importance of giving, but it's the importance of receiving as well. He said, it's not that I'm desiring a gift. That's not why I'm bringing it up. That's not why I'm saying it. It's not out of selfishness. It's not out of a desire to enrich himself. He's not like some of the people you see late night on religious television who are just trying to enrich themselves. And I saw one guy one night and he was selling little ketchup packets that had water supposedly out of the Jordan River. And wherever you had an ache or pain, you were supposed to send him so much money and he'd send you a little packet of water. You squirt it on there, rub it in, and God would heal you. Well, that's ridiculous. Can I give you a theological term for that? That's a bunch of baloney. Amen? And he was selling those little water packets, and I saw him do it more than once. People must have bought them. You know what he's trying to do? Enrich himself. That's what he was looking for, was some money in his pocket there. But as Paul's writing, he said, the reason you're giving is not that I want more stuff. He said, I want fruit that's going to abound to your account. He said, I'm pleased that you're giving because God is going to reward you for that. One day you're going to get to heaven and there's going to be some eternal reward for what you gave here, especially to things that you didn't get a return for here. You see, when you send off mission money and it goes to somebody halfway around the world, you don't see that money again, and it doesn't do any physical good for you right here. But one day,
that's right.
Listen, God keeps a very careful account, I believe, with all my heart. And one day, all the people who got saved and heard the gospel and lives were transformed, and you never saw them and you never met them and you never talked to them, but your faithful mission support went there to that missionary so they could reach them with the gospel. I think God gives you a little credit for that, because you had a part in that. That's what kept the missionary at work. That's what kept the work going on the field. And God is debtor to no man. He'll give out all the rewards that are deserved. Amen. And so the heart of the recipient is not one of selfishness or self-enrichment. And then he says, I want that fruit to abound to your account. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Jesus said, don't be piling up treasure here. That's all gonna fade away one day. All the stuff that was such a big deal here. Do you remember when you were in school, you know, elementary school, high school, college, whatever it was, and you won a trophy or a medal or a ribbon or something like that, and your parents were so proud of you, and they put it on the shelf, and everybody looked at it? You know where that'll be when you're 50? Nobody else does either. Don't worry. No, nobody knows where it'll be. Probably in a box in the attic somewhere. And then when everybody's gone, somebody will take that box and either just throw it in the dumpster or haul it down to Goodwill and they'll throw it in the dumpster.
Right.
And all that stuff that was so important and such a big deal, not going to mean a single thing when you get to heaven. But everybody that heard the gospel because of you, whether it was here or the Philippines or Thailand or wherever it was, that'll have eternal reward. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, because here things fall apart and they decay and they get old and they get broken and they get dusty, but not in heaven. He said, I desire fruit that will abound to your account. And that's not temporal earthly fruit. That's eternal fruit. And by the way, don't refuse to receive a gift that is given as unto the Lord. Don't do that. It's important. Don't rob somebody of a blessing by being too spiritual or too humble to receive a gift. Don't do that. If God has put it on someone's heart to do something kind for you when you're in need, take that as from the Lord and thank them and thank God. Don't act like they shouldn't have done it. Listen, if God put it on their heart, they should have done it. They should have done it. It happens. Listen, I've had people come to me and slip me some money and say, here's $20. Take the kids out for ice cream. You know what we do when somebody does that? We go have ice cream. That's what we do. And you know what they're trying to do? They're just trying to be kind and show the love of Christ. And they're not giving that because we need ice cream. They're giving that because they want to give it to the Lord and they want to bring some joy to our kids. And listen, those things happen. And when they do, don't act too humble. And, you know, if you go through a rough time and somebody brings you something nice or they slip you a little money or they bring you a meal, don't act so humble that you can't accept it. Take that as from the Lord. It's just as important to receive graciously as it is to give graciously. And so he said, I want fruit that abounds to your account. They were trying to give to God. So, well, some people just shouldn't give because they don't have enough. Well, maybe you should tell Jesus that. In Luke chapter 21, verse number 4, the widow comes and puts her mite in the offering. And it's a lot for her. It's a lot. And you know what Jesus said? He said, that's a good thing. She gave more than everybody else when hers was just a small offering, but it was sacrificial for her. He didn't say, oh, don't do that. Oh, that's a shame. No, you keep that. No, he said, she just did a good thing right there. Just did a good thing. So learn to receive graciously, to give graciously. But we not only see the heart of the givers and the heart of the recipient, but most importantly, we see the heart of God. Here's why it's important. Look, if you would, down here at verse 18. As the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see that? He said, here's why it was good to do. Here's why it was right. It was acceptable and well-pleasing to God. I'm thankful for it, but I want you to know that God is pleased with it. God is pleased. Wouldn't it be nice to get to heaven and find out that you did a few things God was pleased with? That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Because I suspect there might be a few things we do throughout our life that he's not terribly pleased with. But to know that there are some things that please God, that's good. Then we can do those and do them faithfully. Why is that? Why is that pleasing to God? I believe it's pleasing to God because it reflects the character of God. Yeah. Really does. Right from the beginning, you know what God starts doing toward mankind? Giving. For God so loved the world that he what? Oh, that he gave his only begotten son. It reflects the character of God when we give unselfishly, because that's what God does. That's how God is. That's how he thinks, and that's how he functions. It doesn't matter if the gift is accepted or rejected. You give because it's pleasing to God and it reflects the love of God and the giving of God. We were on our way to Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. And it was wintertime. I believe it was around Valentine's. It was February, and we had driven up toward Pittsburgh, and Aliquippa is just on the outskirts of Pittsburgh, and it's an old dead steel mining town, and there's not much there anymore if you actually go into the town. But we were staying at the Prophet's Chamber at the church, and we knew that we were, and we'd been there before. And so we stopped at Walmart before we got out to the church, and snow was falling. You know, when the great big flakes of snow fall, everything is kind of quiet, and it's muffled and peaceful, and we're out in the Walmart parking lot, and the lights are shining, and the snow is falling through the lights, and we got the things we need, and we came back out to the van, and as we were about ready to get in after loading up the stuff, I made a presentation. Here in the Walmart parking lot with the snow falling and the lights shining, it was about as romantic as it could be. And I whipped out a red rose and presented it to my wife. Yeah. And she took it and threw it on the ground and just broke my heart. And to this very day, she'll claim it was because there were already tire tracks on it from where the last guy had run over it. But it's the thought that counts. Amen. I had them right there, yeah. And they turned on you just like that. You see, giving is not dependent upon whether or not somebody receives it or receives it well. You give because it's pleasing to God. And you don't give stuff that got run over in the parking lot. Amen? Don't do that. Don't try that, brother. I know, you know. Just file that away for later. Amen? And don't do it. Amen? And don't you do it either, because your wife won't appreciate that. Amen? Just won't be good. We see the heart of God. And when he gave his son, he knew full well that his son would be rejected and despised and that he would die. He knew that. The Bible says he was slain from the foundation of the world. God knew what was going to happen when he gave his son. And he gave anyway. So, well, if I give my money to that mission project, what if they waste it? Well, you gave it to God. So if they waste it, let God take care of that. Let God take care of it. Now, don't keep throwing money down a black hole. But if, you know, every once in a while, somebody's going to abuse something, and you just trust God to take care of it. Amen? Just trust God to take care of it. Don't worry about how it's going to be accepted and all the rest. God is pleased. And then look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everybody knows that verse. We quote that verse. We say that verse a lot. And quite often we forget the context in which that verse appears in your Bible. The context of which that verse appears is that they have just given unselfishly and lovingly and to the Apostle Paul as unto God. And now God says, I'm going to supply all your needs. You gave as unto God. You gave out of love. You gave because of a need. And now you can trust me to supply your needs. It's been said so many times, you can't give out God. Outgive God. You can't outgive God. It's just not possible. When you give to something that God loves, God takes care of you. I can't explain that. I don't know the math of how it all works, but I do know that it works. I know that. I know I've been working on my taxes this week, and that's a horrible thing. And you have to add up all this stuff, you know. And I have to do all the work before I ever take it to the lady who's going to file it. I should be the one that gets paid for this. But you have to put on there, how much did you give? And I put it on there. And you know what she always says? That's a red flag. That's a lot. So, well, that's what we gave. Because we're tithing and we're giving to missions, and then there's other stuff that pops up and we give to that, and we gave money for tract paper printing and different projects, and that's what we gave. So I'm putting it on the line. Amen. There it is. And if that's a red flag, well, so be it. I'm glad that she thinks it's a lot. I'm glad she doesn't look at it and think, oh, those people claim to be Christians, and look at that tiny little amount that they give. I'm glad she doesn't think that. I'm glad she thinks we give too much. We don't give too much, but she thinks we do. Because you can't really give too much. Because God always supplies your needs. Somebody, we went to breakfast with a friend today, and she was asking about something, and Liz had mentioned that when we get a vehicle, we save up money ahead of time, and we just buy it outright. We've never bought a new one. We can't save that much money. But the Lord always provides the right vehicle and the amount, and we can always get what we need. And I said to her, you don't really want to sign up for a bunch of payments when you don't know what your income's going to be every week. And we don't. We don't know what our income's going to be every week. We have no idea. But God always takes care of everything. He always has. And sometimes we'll look at a love offering and think, ooh, that's going to be rough. And then we go to some little church in the middle of nowhere, and there's a great big old love offering that makes up for what didn't happen last week, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. But God knows.
Yes, He does.
And He takes care of all of it, always. And it always comes out in the end. There's always enough to meet the needs. Why? Well, because He said there would be.
That's right.
And He doesn't lie. Amen.
That's right.
He always tells the truth. And He said, I will supply your needs. You give like you're supposed to give. And don't hold it back and worry about if there's enough to give. You just give. And then God takes care of it. Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Again, you don't give to get. It's not like some kind of religious TV program where they say, if you send me $100, God will give you 10,000. That's baloney. God never said that. What He did say is, you give to the things that please me, and I'll meet all your needs. You may not know what's going to happen. You might have to wait till right the last minute. You might have some nervous moments, but God will meet all of your needs. He always does. So you're a preacher, so God does that for you. God doesn't do that for preachers. He does that for His children. He does. Listen, the missionary, the evangelist, the pastor, we're not special. We're just saved people serving God. Just like every saved people ought to be serving God. Amen? And God has promised to provide our needs. It's important to give. And God will bless it. And you've seen an awful lot of needs put up in front of you this week. And trust me, there are more. There are more than you've seen. There really are. Listen, if you wanted, you could have 5 missionaries every night going to different places, and all of them with big needs and all kinds of things to give to. But God has put in front of you several this week. And so now you need to decide, can I trust Him? If I give, can I trust Him to meet my needs? And I'm here to tell you the answer is yes. You most certainly can. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that we could be here in this place tonight. Thank You for these people and their kindness for the last several days. And God, I pray that during this missions conference, as we've seen the needs displayed in front of us, as Your Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, God, I pray, like we said last night, that we're listening. We're listening to what You're saying. And God, help us not to just listen, but to respond, like we said on Monday night, and say, here am I. Here am I. Lord, tonight I pray, as we look at this thing of giving and we have to decide what it is we're going to give this year, I pray that we would take into account the fact that You said You'd supply all of our needs. And we'll thank you for all that you do in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.